Today's episode is sponsored by NoCD. NoCD are dedicated to creating a better everyday life for people with OCD by making care more accessible, more connected, and more effective. NoCD now deliver exposure and response prevention sessions with an OCD-trained therapist directly inside the NoCD platform, done over face-to-face video conferencing. To connect with one of their OCD therapists, schedule a 15-minute free, confidential call with NoCD's intake team. To find out more, head to go.treatmyocd.com/theocdstories. That's go.treatmyocd.com/theocdstories, or visit our website for a link. Hey guys, and welcome to episode 211 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, in this episode, I interview therapist Dr. Jonathan Grayson and Bob Sanfroni to share his OCD story with us. And in particular, the episode is around the theme of the fear of going crazy. So in it, Bob shares his story around this particular theme, his journey in therapy, and also John talks about it from a clinical point of view, his understanding of this particular theme, how the treatment applies to this theme. John talks a lot about living with uncertainty generally with an OCD and in life. So hopefully you'll find that useful whether you have this theme or are affected by this theme or not. But I appreciate John's wisdom as always, and I appreciate Bob sharing his story with us. So hopefully this episode helps you, and without further ado, here is John and Bob. On the podcast today, I have Dr. Jonathan Grayson. John has been specializing in the treatment of obsessive compulsive disorder for more than 35 years and is the author of Freedom from Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. He's on the podcast today to talk about the OCD subtype around the fear of going crazy, whatever that word means, and is joined by Bob Sanfroni. I don't know why I put the space there, to share his experience. I'll tell you what, that's how I wrote that, and now I confused myself, but we'll leave it in because it's my mistake. But yeah, welcome to the show, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
No worries. So, John, in your experience, this fear of going crazy, and sometimes I've seen people write it out as fear of schizophrenia or psychosis. How would you describe what's going on here?
Well, I think when people are afraid of going crazy, they might use those labels, you know, whether they're going to be schizophrenic or a psychotic. I don't know if they necessarily have it thought out, but I mean, it's basically boils down to, right, I'm going to lose control of my mind. You know, I will hallucinate. I will see things that aren't there. I will completely lose it and just be completely out of control.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I can start getting into how it appears symptomatically and more specifically, or I don't know if you have a question.
I'll tell you what, yeah, we'll go into that a bit later.
Okay.
So, no, thank you. That was a useful definition. And Bob, yeah, it'd be good to hear your story with OCD and with this particular theme.
Yeah, sure. So this particular thing started when I was in a sophomore in college. It's kind of a... I'll give you the short version of the story, but in 1982, I was a sophomore in college, and I smoked pot with some friends, and I had a reaction to it where I got really scared. It was the kind of situation where it happened at the end of the semester, and I went home and was still experiencing a lot of anxiety. I told my parents, and I ended up getting seen by a psychiatrist who was really old school, even by 1982 standards. And he diagnosed me as psychotic. And so he immediately put me on antipsychotics, like I was on Trilofan and Thorazine and things like that. And then those medications actually made me worse. And so I went into this like 2.5 year snowball of, you know, being anxious, being given more medication, becoming more anxious because, you know, my mind was even becoming more and more, I guess, jumbled or not like I was used to, not feeling sharp. And it just kept going and going. So I was getting sort of shopped around to different doctors. I ended up having ECT treatment several times. I had to drop out of school. I gained about 40 or 50 pounds because of the, I guess, water retention properties and the medications. I went from like a really fit person to this like big bloated version of myself. What else happened? Yeah, it was just terrible. It's like it's like this nightmarish period. And then somehow this doctor referred me to a psychologist, and the psychologist like took one look at me and he said, "We've got to get you off of that medication. That's what's going on." And so, and it made the psychiatrist really mad, because the psychiatrist really wanted to, it's like, "I think we need to put you in a hospital until they figure out what's wrong with you, like a mental hospital." And so with the help of the psychologist and getting with another psychiatrist, I was able to get off of the medications, which was like this crazy cocktail of things. And you know, within the matter of like a month, I mean, I was just like a completely different person. You know, I was just like, you know, just like, holy crap, you know. And I lost a lot of weight because I, you know, my body got rid of all of those medications. And you know, I was just like a completely different person. But the OCD part is that I was left with this fear of going crazy, you know, because I'd been really traumatized by, you know, being in a hospital, having people treat you like a mental patient, seeing my whole life dissolve in a matter of a couple of months, you know, ECT treatments, all that stuff. Like, so it was like tons of trauma. And, you know, with having probably had OCD going into this, it gave my OCD, you know, OCD inclined brain something to really focus on. And so it seized on that, and then like basically that just has become my concern for like the last 30 years. And so that's, you know, then I started treatment, but I didn't realize it was OCD until you know, like maybe 15 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
But I spent like the last 25 to 30 years in a pretty miserable state, in a pretty highly anxious state, trying to figure out what the hell's going on, working on trying to not go crazy. It was tough. It was really tough until I met John.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it sounds it. And yeah, well, I'm glad you know, you got there in the end. Sorry, it took so long. And they got the diagnosis wrong initially. Yeah, so the point you met John, was that the first time you started getting treatment specifically for OCD? Or?
No, I mean, I saw therapists who treated OCD, I guess I want to say starting back like in 96-ish, 98-ish. Yeah. But I don't think I ever really made the gains or got over the hump until I met with John. You know, and in some cases, you know, it's like maybe it wasn't, the therapy wasn't 100% what I needed. In some cases, maybe it was just a matter of like how I clicked with a certain therapist. With John, it was like from day one, it was just different, you know. I mean, the first question he asked me, so like I talked to him on the phone, and you know, he's like, "Well, let me ask you this. In order to feel better, are you willing to go crazy?" And I was like, "Well, fuck no, I'm not going crazy."
Yeah.
Can we say the words like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you can. Like, yeah.
Good. I don't want to like limit my vocabulary by 50%. But he was like, "Yes." Well, then he said, "Well," I said, "No, I'm not. Well, I don't want to go crazy. What I'm trying to do is not go crazy." And he said, "Well, then you're not ready for treatment, because you're not suffering enough. You have to be suffering enough to where you're willing to experience that thing that you fear, you know, more than what you're doing." So that kind of got my attention right away. I was like, "Holy crap! What is this guy doing?" But it was good to sit with him. I mean, it's been incredible. has a way with me that I don't know, I just never had before. And he's able to, you know, like he's, you know, he really likes to poke the bear and, you know, expose me to my fears, like in a way that really never happened before. So
yeah,
it's been great.
Excellent. Great,
you know, painful.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. Well, look, no, thank you for that, for your story and,
sure.
Yeah, for sharing how you met, John. And we'll unpack that as well in a bit, Bob. But John, so I guess I'll join these questions together is how often do you see this sort of theme of these worries in your practice? And then also, what are some of the common obsessions and compulsions that go along with this?
Just because I don't collect statistics, I can't say what percent. But it is definitely not a unique presentation. Mm. You know, I think we run across it frequently. I mean, I think Bob had this particularly awful experience where somebody actually thought he was psychotic, you know, which, you know, kind of in a typical way, you know, is how often OCD is, right, misdiagnosed. In a recent group, we had talked about, you know, when did you first realize a problem? When did it have a label? When did you find treatment? And in that sense, Bob's story is typical. Like, so many people are misdiagnosed, and then so many people get a diagnosis, and it's still 15 years of suffering before, you know, they get treatment, which I never quite understand since we know what to do. So it's not infrequent. I mean, marijuana probably does account for some portion because there's a sizable portion, not everyone, but there's a sizable portion of anxiety people who respond to marijuana with panic attacks. So often that first panic attack is the beginning. You know, it's not that it caused the problem. They were going to have OCD or a panic disorder anyway, but this was the triggering event, you know. And of course, the thing about having a panic attack is if you don't know what it is, it feels like you're going crazy. So, I mean, that, you know, so that is often one trigger of, like, you know, the person feeling like that's the first step of going crazy. You know, other people, they don't have to have quite a visceral response initially. You know, it's the idea of, like, you know, how do I know, you know, like I'm thinking these OCD thoughts are crazy. And how do I know I'm not going to go to that next level? You know, I said OCD is always creative. It's always looking for some kind of danger to me. You know, so going crazy for a lot of people, that's like the worst thing. Like, you know, I can cope with everything, but what if I can't cope because my mind is gone? Right? You know, OCD is always looking for what's the one thing I can't do. You know, well, if my mind is gone, then how do I function with things? You know, and so there are a few ways of losing my mind. Of, you know, am I going senile, you know, am I, you know, or am I going crazy? And, you know, what are the signs of it? Do I hear voices? I don't think I hear voices. How do I know that I'm not hearing voices? Maybe I am hearing voices. Maybe I just think I'm not hearing voices. And now, in the same way, somebody with, you know, homosexual OCD is kind of checking their body for, you know, am I responding? It's like, am I hearing that? Is that kind of a sound in the environment? Is that real? Or is there a voice that I hear underneath that? So, you know, the symptoms, of course, you know, broaden where I'm constantly checking the environment. And, you know, there's this kind of idea that I could prevent going crazy. So what do I need to do to prevent going crazy? You know, so one thing Bob would do is any place that would make him anxious, where he felt like he was going to go crazy, well, I'm not going there anymore. So now, right, as OC spreads, you know, to avoid going crazy, it's now spread that anything that's going to make me feel anxious, because how do I know that that's not going to lead me to the next level of going crazy?
And thoughts became, was a big one too. It's like, you know, so having a, like, don't, like, you know, I have all sorts of exposures that I do around the idea of listening to the scripts of, you know, what would happen if I went crazy, and, you know, what's it going to be like in a mental hospital, and lots of really fun things that we've explored. So, but yeah, so it's not just places physically, it's almost like places mentally as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you guys for that. So I guess leading on from that then is Bob, what types of exposure work did you do? And John, what would you do for this type of worries?
Well, you know, the first thing, and this did take a few months for Bob and I, you know, and I know I'm a broken record on this, you know, I try to not really start exposure until the person's really willing to do exposure. And for me, willing to do exposure is not only that they're going to do the exercises we're suggesting, it means that I'm really, truly want to live with uncertainty. You know, to live with uncertainty is say, well, the worst might happen. Because the worst might always happen. You know, I think there are a few reasons to choose to live with uncertainty. You know, one of which is we actually do not have a choice. And so, you know, the idea is like, I can't tell somebody they're not going to go crazy. You know, and you know, I can't say that I've never had somebody go psychotic. I have had some people go psychotic. You know, I can say that having OCD does not put them in any greater risk to go psychotic than me. But it's like, yeah, I might go psychotic too. You know, it's like, you know, that's, you know, doesn't really help. So you're going to have to take that risk. That might happen. And like with anything, well, what do you want to do if that happens? You know, and then I guess the second point, you know, so as we spent a few months discussing going psychotic and taking the risk and all the reasons to take the risk. You know, so one is you don't have a choice. The second thing is, you know, although you feel like you're going to go psychotic, I have to point out, well, you've had panic attacks. You actually don't know what it feels like to go psychotic, so you can't tell me that. We know you hate panic attacks. But first you can actually have to go psychotic for us to know that, you know, what it feels like. And then the really great news, because, you know, going psychotic is a pretty biological process. None of your rituals would prevent you from going psychotic. You don't have a choice. If you know, like not going someplace, preventing yourself from being anxious, you're going psychotic, it's going to happen, period. So, you know, we kind of help Bob build a world in which life sucks with OCD controlling me. And like the sad thing is with most rituals, I do all these rituals, like I don't even get the prize. It's like, it's not like, oh, well, at least I won't go psychotic. It's like, no, you can go psychotic and be really OCD, or you can go psychotic, but at least not be OCD. What do you pick? Yeah. So that set the stage. And you know, I said, I think, although all arguments for living with uncertainty are rational, you know, for a lot of people, it takes some time to get to the point where it's like, oh, okay, I really am willing to do this because, you know, whatever reasons we're trying to present. And, you know, Bob's first time when I told him this, he was, to say the least, really upset when I said, well, we have to take this risk for you to get better. And I did say to him, you don't, you know, I'm sorry, you need to hate your OCD more than anything. You know, like right now you have this fear and that's greater. I'll let you ask a question before I keep going on.
No, that was really good. And Bob, does that, you know, I guess what do you have to say about all of that? Well, you know, what point did you feel, I'm ready to face this now?
Well, I mean, one of the first things John had me write out was like, why would I even do this? You know, meaning like, you know, to the exposures, why would I even, you know,
take the risk?
Why would I take the risk? So I wrote out a script for that. And it was, you know, it was helpful because it's sort of like, you know, I mean, so a lot of the reasons that John just like elaborated on, but the idea of like, you know, I want to be a better father, I want to be a better husband, I want to be a better, you know, everything. I want to be, and the other thing is like, the stuff that I'm doing is not helping, you know? So for all those reasons, you know, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the gist of it. So that was the first thing that we did. And then, John has a way of like being like really tough, but then also like, I don't know, also nurturing in a way, like, I don't know. We just had a really good chemistry is all I can say. It's like, I mean, you know, while you're here, he's half the time, like he'll sit on the carpet and take his shoes off and stuff like that. And He speaks really quietly sometimes. Anyway, it's just there's something about him. I don't know. We just clicked. We just have like a good chemistry. And for some reason, that really made a difference to me as well. He has these sneaky ways of things. Like we would be talking about exposures and he'd say, oh, yeah, oh, that reminds me of my uncle, you know, when he went crazy. Did I tell you about my uncle, you know, or what? Did I tell you about the lady that talked to the trees? Oh, I didn't tell. Oh, the lady who talks to trees. Oh, I told you about that. Let me tell you about that again. And like he's just like we keep throwing these stories out, you know, of like of, you know, oh, yeah, no. You know, like it would just, there's always like some sort of thing, no matter what we did, he found a way to get back into it and just sort of keep like firing these stories at me. So that was a lot of what was going on in the session. And then, you know, outside of the session, obviously I would just record scripts of different ways of going crazy. What's life going to be like in a mental hospital? What would it be like if my family visited me? What would it be like if I had to go back to work after having been in a mental hospital? How would people respond to me? You know, what, you know, just all these things. And I was just listening to this like pretty much 24/7. Like I was always listening to those exposures. And that helped. And then we would, you know, obviously keep adding things. You know, there's like, you know, what if I became paranoid? You know, what if I got dementia? Dementia is another offshoot of this, like, you know, am I developing dementia? Is my memory going? Am I losing my mind slowly that way? You know, so that it's always like shape shifting a little bit. The central theme's still there, but there's definitely, you know, it likes to present itself in different ways. So I don't know. I think I've answered probably more than answered your question.
I do remember Bob and I would be sitting and periodically like, oh, I have a really good idea. And he would, his face would kind of fall like, oh no, what are you going to tell me now?
And
exposures were, you know, in a simple, straightforward, like all exposures, like what is scary, you know? So, you know, Bob at one point was worried about being paranoid, like, you know, what if I see this guy and things? So I'd have him write stories of, you know, let's expand on like the person you see outside and like, you know, what, as if you were paranoid, what is it they're doing and how are they watching you?
Still hate that one. Still.
Really helpful. And it's funny because I just was writing one of my friends who was just working on treating a problem with this and want to know a good place for exposures. Bob discovered on YouTube there's an entire set of like people being admitted to Bellevue nightmare things to watch, you know, the things that if this is your fear, why, you know, because again, it's like, I don't want to see other, you know, I'm making the little air quotes, you know, crazy people, you know, and to see the process of like that is, you know, terrifying. So he would get to watch that a lot. And, you know, and there's a period in treatment as it began to work where, you know, there's a certain point where, you know, everyone, I think when treatment's working, it's like, you just get so angry. They say, it's like, fine, I don't care what it is, bring it on, you know? And then there's that free period, you know, cause it's like, you're just so throwing yourself into it. And the problem initially, not really a problem, is that feels really good. You know, so I'm pumping along and having a few good days. And then because you're not really, you know, over it yet, it starts to pop back. Now, the thing that we're always trying to help people do is, oh, you know, like, let's do more of the work you're supposed to do. But initially, when it starts popping back, many individuals go like, oh my God, it's coming back. I got to make sure it doesn't come back. And they kind of start subtly avoiding, even if they don't drop all the way into full avoidance. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I'm avoiding, because nowadays I can't go crazy. And if I can't go crazy, now the symptoms start to get a little worse again. You know, and so, you know, what Bob realized is when he would start to feel good, he'd also stop doing the exposure as much because I don't really need it. It's cool. You know, everything's good. And it's like, oh, I always have to poke the bear. It's like it might seem like a good period. I have to challenge that period. And I have to keep working because, you know, these little slips will occur. And it's really cool when I hit that point where it's not bothering me. And although that's in some way the goal, the real goal is I never stop functioning no matter how much it's bothering me, you know, and I need to keep poking it. And one reason Bob did so well is he worked really, really hard. So, you know, he has said to me, I should let him tell you that, you know, that he does things in life that he wasn't doing before, you know, and there's a freedom in life that you know, wasn't there before, you know, because he threw himself into risking, like, if I have to be crazy, let me be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And I think a lot of the people listening can relate to the point where you start to feel better and then you ease off because you're feeling better. And it's that, you know, you only have motivation to lose weight when you've got weight to lose. As soon as you're, you know, more you're fighting weight, so to speak, you lose that motivation to lose the last couple pounds or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's usually when the weight slips back on because you've had that extra donut or whatever it is. Bad example, but you get my point. Yeah, I guess.
It's a good example. I always overeat.
That's so
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's, yeah, a lot of people can relate to that. Bob, what do you want others to know either about this theme or how they can be more supported with it or, yeah, just anything?
I mean, like, one thing that comes to mind, honestly, is that, like, I, you know, because this isn't, like, the most common form of OCD. So in the last year, I've met one or two people who had the same concern. That's pretty huge to actually have that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe just sort of almost put a shout out here. I'd love to have a way of sort of galvanizing people who have this particular subset of it. Because, like, there's a lot of OCD. Like when we come to group, there's a lot of, when I say group, John, because John has his goal group every other week. There's a lot of contamination. You know what I mean? There's a lot of sort of like the more standard kinds, but there's not a lot of like, I'm fear of going crazy. So I don't know. One thing that would be helpful ultimately is to sort of have a nucleus of people like that. Cause it just seems like it's so uncommon, you know, mm-hmm. Don't you agree? I mean, or don't you feel like it's uncommon?
It is not the most common. You know, I don't know. I do suspect, as with all OCD, I think it's way more common than people realize, you know, but I think so many people are probably misdiagnosed, you know, because I think they come in with the fear and, you know, they're probably viewed as you're just really anxious, you know, and somehow amazingly the therapists don't ask for all the rituals or, you know, or they, you know, do the supposed rational, you know, like, well, you know, you're not really going crazy or, you know, whatever it is reassuring, but treating it as an anxiety disorder that has nothing to do with OCD. And you know, even if somebody were to say it was generalized anxiety, which I would argue with, but the thing that's really terrible is that shouldn't matter because treatment would be the same. I'm still trying to know something that I can't know. I still have to take risks that I have to take. So I think that one hopes that, right, you know, there are enough people who would listen to the show who would be able to go like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that that's part of my OCD. Or, you know, or how many people would listen to the show and didn't realize that this was their OCD?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of a little bit of a shout out to me.
No, it's
I'm gonna sort of feel like I'm breaking into the podcast using it for my own benefit.
It's all good. I mean,
it's not your career, so no, I don't think we can accuse you of that.
Yeah. I get the reason why I wanted to do this episode is because I have had quite a few people contact me, kind of saying they have this fear, they're worrying about going crazy, and they wanted a podcast on it. So I think it's definitely not the most common, but it's way more common than I think people realize. And it just doesn't, kind of like when we did the OCD staring episode, it just doesn't get talked about or written about. So yeah, I think something like a private Facebook group or something like that specifically for this theme. So, you know, if one of you two want to start that, let me know, or anyone listening, go for it.
You know, and I think, again, the hardest part in treatment is saying, well, this is what we have to risk happening. You know, because again, you know, when we talk about living with uncertainty and you say risking the worst, it's kind of like people think, well, if I went crazy, that's it. And in a very literal way, that's like, that's all the person's willing to imagine. Like, that there's this moment and they're like, I won't imagine beyond it. And of course, something would happen. Even if it's not great, it would happen. You know, so I remember, you know, the early words that Bob and I were talking, it's like, what would really happen, you know, if you went crazy? You know, I mean, there is the, I've been in an institution forever. It's like, all right, that's a possibility. But, you know, more likely, okay, so you're going to go in an institution, you know, and you're going to be on meds. You know, the good news actually is, like, you know, antipsychotics, you know, it's like, it's too bad we don't have drugs for OCD that good. Antipsychotics are like, you go on the antipsychotic and you stop being crazy, period. You know, like, we don't have anything that OCD. You take the drug and it's all done. You don't need me for therapy. It's like, oh, no, this actually works. So, that's pretty good, really. You know, it's like, in some ways a better problem. Not really, obviously. but you know, I always think the worst problem is whichever the person is suffering from. Yeah. But, you know, but you're going to be there, all right? People are going to visit you. What is that going to be like? Currently, in a statistical way, you're probably out in 2 to 6 weeks. What's reentry going to be like? You know, and people don't want to imagine that. It's like, oh my God, like, but you know, like, if it's going to happen, you don't have a choice. It really is going to do this. So let's just look at what's going to really happen. You know, like, okay, you're going to go to work. Everybody's going to be a little weird around you at first because, you know, you went nuts. And if you're currently not acting psychotic, you know, eventually they'll get used to it. Or if you come back and you seem pretty good, they'll kind of not believe it. It's like, whoa, you were really pretty weird there for a while. And life kind of drifts back in. Maybe it will happen again, maybe not. But although that's really scary to lay all those things out,
I'm getting scared just thinking about
it. I could hear it. Yeah, funny. I could hear, even though Bob's really worked in this and gotten over it well, I could feel him next to me going like, oh, shoot.
Really?
But,
yeah.
But
a lot of exhaling over here.
Yeah. I have a way with words. But it also, giving it form makes it, I don't know if less scary, but makes it feel like, oh, I can cope, I could cope with that. You know, again, acceptance, because really deciding to live with uncertainty is accepting there's no choice. Mm-hmm. Deciding that I could live with this thing, well, that's acceptance, and acceptance always sucks. Yeah. It's the second best life. But to say that the second best, all right, I could do second best. That might be sad, but it's not like, So I think for the listeners, you know, trying, you know, what I would most want them to get is that initial courage of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Because, you know, a lot of times if somebody says, all right, but I don't even know how to start that process, you know? And it's like, well, you know, therapists are supposed to be good for something. The decision that that's what I want to learn allows them to do that next step of like, all right, how would I try to cope with uncertainty? You know, how would I try to cope with the worst? Because there are just a zillion things for all of us that actually will happen that are going to be terrible, that we all hope to cope with. We can't do any better than I hope I will cope with it.
Yeah.
So for the people with this fear, you know, the thing is panic attacks, I feel like you're going crazy. I mean, you're not in the sense that it's not a psychotic process, but if, you know, it is an emergency system going off and its pure function is like to set you off, like, you know, running around, you know, it's a more primitive part of our brain responding, you know, so it responds, you know, and so it's like all feelings. I can't make the feeling feel less terrible. I do get to decide whether or not I respond to that feeling. You're frozen, so I don't know what my words have gotten through. Did you hear that last thing I said?
All of them have gone through, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because like you were frozen. It's like, uh-oh, did that go through? Yeah, so...
Just being really still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was being still, so...
Yeah, so, right, I learning that I can have a feeling and feel terrible. Hmm. I don't have to do what the feeling tells me. But, you know, there's so many times when you say that to somebody, they kind of almost feel like, that means I won't feel the feeling. It's like, no, this is still going to really suck. Yeah. Going through therapy is as bad as not going through therapy. It's just that one is endless and the other has an end. Yeah. Therapy is the one with the good end, by the way.
Good point. Okay. So, well, there's so much information there. But just a more general question around this particular theme is just words for hope with those with it. For both of you.
I mean, I was really, it was pretty debilitating for me for a long time, like 30 some years, you know, because I'm older now. So I don't know. I kind of feel like if I can do it, I do feel like everybody's got a shot, you know. I mean, I definitely felt like I couldn't do it. I think it's like getting the right treatment and understanding what to do. But I do think there's hope. It's just a matter of getting the right help and then working really hard at it. Mm. And like, I don't know, there's some point where you just have to, it's a little bit of a trust fall. and that's hard to do. That's hard to do, especially when you really don't want something to happen that badly, you know? Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do that. But when you do it, I found it to be really liberating. This whole thing of like, it's just sort of mentally sort of throwing your hands in the air, like, I don't know if I'm going crazy. I don't know, but I'm going to go out to dinner, or I'm going to go, you know, jump in an airplane or whatever. You know, you're just like, I don't know, but we're just gonna do it. You know, one of John's things that he's had me say, like in the moments of like, you know, like panics, like, am I going crazy? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know. I'll have to wait until somebody tells me. Mm. And that's something that kind of helps me get through. It's a little unsettling, but at the same time, it's a little like, well, you know, like, I guess the notion behind it is like, you know, we're just going to roll the dice here and assume this is OCD and not going psychotic. And if it is psychotic, someone's bound to tap me on the shoulder eventually. So until then, we're just sort of going to operate in sort of like a, you know, live a life. As if it's OCD, yeah, exactly. So we're going to go to the pool, we're going to go surfing, we're going to go ride our bikes, we're going to go to work, we're going to do whatever. And then, you know, for psychotic, generally somebody, you know, brings that to our attention.
You know, so,
but it doesn't mean it's easy. And there's definitely slips, and there's definitely times where, like, you know, the story John was just telling about, you know, of you know, becoming psychotic and what happens afterwards. There's times where he'll tell that story and or that scenario, and I will like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then there's times like today where he tells it, and it's like, oh shit, I don't want to hear that. So it's not like, it's the other thing is like, it doesn't get, it's not, you're never done, you know.
But in a positive vein, even though I made him anxious with that, it wasn't like, and now I'm going to have to start ritualizing running away and trying to figure out, like, you know, climbing my hole. It's like, oh, all right, exposure, got to feel uncomfortable now, you know. So, and because, I mean, after more than 30 years of, like, functioning with it and feeling tortured, feeling relatively free for the last 2 years or so.
Two or three, and we've
only been together 2 or 3 years, so it's, you know, it's doable. I think besides getting word out to sufferers, that's actually easy compared to the other task, which is getting word out to therapists. No, because I do think I'm pretty good, but I do think a bunch of the things I do, some of them are decisions any therapist could make. So, you know, fine, I might have skills and great way of presenting and be convincing and all this other stuff, But some of the core decisions that I'm trying to help lead people to, any therapist can do, because it's like, that's what the problem dictates. This is what you're afraid of. It might happen. How would you cope? How would you try to cope with the worst? Can't do suicide. And the reason we can't do suicide, that's a way of not thinking about it. So let's think about living through and working through it. So I hope a lot of therapists are listening. You know, I know the last one we did, a bunch of therapists listened to, so, but I don't know if we were preaching to the choir for them, but, you know, we right. It's like with all OC treatment, we've got to get more professionals so that the people can find treatment quicker than 15 years.
Yeah, I agree. And I would like more therapists to listen too, so for multiple reasons. So... yeah, thank you for that. I got a question for each of you now. So, firstly, Bob, if you could pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self, what would you tell him?
Jeez, go see John. I mean, honestly, the 20-year-old self, after that whole trauma, it was a world where OCD was known, but like it wasn't as known as it is now. And so I would point myself into going towards the problem as opposed to away from the problem. And less about reassurance and more about exposure, and finding someone that specializes in this kind of thing. I would say do it sooner. Wait 30 years.
But you didn't wait.
I didn't wait. No,
you
I
look,
was,
you were
I
misled.
Was, yeah.
Multiple
I was,
times.
I was working my butt off the whole time. It's just with John, I feel like I was working on the right things. So.
Cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask the same one to you, John.
What would I tell 20-year-old Bob?
Wait.
What would I tell myself when I was 20?
20-year-old John.
Which one are we talking about?
Let's do 20-year-old John.
20-year-old John.
It's like, don't quit the band.
I don't think that I've lived a charmed life. It's gone pretty well, so I don't. I wouldn't have to tell him much different, So it's not so much, either I was exceptionally wise, exceptionally lucky, probably the latter, because, I've been working with OCD. By the way, you're going to have to change the intro. It's now over 40 years,
okay,
not 35. And, I sometimes think, I've been doing the same thing for 40 years. It seems like, shouldn't I get sick of it by now or be tired of it? Like, is something wrong with me that I still like doing this? And kind of my thought that follows that, it's like, well, if that's messed up, I'll wait till I figure it out, because I'm enjoying it still. So why change? Why change? So... at 20, things were on this path. There were some difficult times in graduate school that were to come, but I don't know that I ever gave up faith, so I struggled through those. So I don't know. I feel a little obnoxious saying I'd have to keep listening to myself.
Fair enough. No, I like it.
Yeah. Sometime I'll tell you about my speech anxiety when I was younger.
Okay. We'll do an episode on that. Okay, cool. So, look, thank you so much to both of you for sharing your wisdom and your stories. But is there anything else either of you want to say before we wrap up?
I'm afraid we've covered it all.
Yeah.
And as always... I'm so glad the OCD stories are around, because I can't say many people come to me having heard them.
I appreciate it. No, that means a lot. And thank you to you guys for sharing this topic, because I know it's going to help a lot of people.
And don't forget, this podcast is sponsored by NoCD. To find out more about NoCD and their treatment plans, head over to go.treatmyocd.com/theocdstories or visit the website for a link. Thank you to John and Bob for giving up their time. And thank you to you guys for listening. And quick disclaimer, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. Until we speak, take care.